My wife was still in Virginia. Who's from Virginia? You said Virginia. Still in Blacksburg. She had two children, pregnant, and I was in Missouri trying to make enough money to bring her out. So you know how much I wanted a job, okay? I get a call on a Sunday afternoon to go to an Angus farm and pull a calf. It's always pulling a calf, isn't it? We drive out to this farm. I packed everything I could think of. I had more boxes and surgical kits, and I was ready to do brain surgery if we needed to. You remember that? Okay. There's other veterinarians in here, and they're all pointing at me now. I get out there, and it's one of these farms that's been there since the 1840s, and you drive down a quarter-mile drive to get to the house, and it's all lined with trees. And unbeknownst to me, they had a little ringer in the cattle guard, so when you drove across it, they knew you were coming. And I drove all the way down this driveway, and they're standing in the front yard of this beautiful home is three generations of this family. We got grandma and mom and dad and the little guy. We got a couple brothers and sisters. And the cow's on a hill across the creek that's probably this wide. We cross that little creek, and I have two of the brothers help me port all my stuff up the hill. My boxes and buckets and jars of water, lube. Calf jack, an extra calf jack in case the first one breaks. We get up there and she's laying down. She's just sort of laying there on her side, and she's bloated, bigger than Dallas. Dallas is pretty big. Really bloated. So I get down. I want to be professional. I don't have any clients yet. I need somebody to pay my tab so I get my wife back. So I go through this whole routine of gloving up and cleaning the cow and lubing up. And get down and I reach in, and that calf has been dead for a long time. And it's very big around. So I stand back up and in very scientific language explain to the owner what was going on and the chance for survival and what I would have to do to help this cow. It was magnificent. Straight out of the textbook. And at that point, the cow stood up. Then she fell down. Then she rolled end over end, all the way down the hill. Unbeknownst to me, Grandma had crossed the creek. And was standing on the other side of the creek there. And as she saw the cow coming down the hill, she took a step back. So she fell in the creek. The cow slapped into an oak tree at the bottom of the hill and died. I don't know if y'all raise watermelons in Tennessee, but it sort of sounded like dropping one of those. There was nothing that could be said. What are you going to do? I got those old boys to help me pick everything back up, and the three of us trudged back down, and we got Grandma out of the creek. And we carried all that stuff back over, and they put it all in my truck, and I drove away. And that driveway was longer now than it was when I came in. And what was going through my mind was, that's it. I'll never see my wife again. I'll never practice medicine in this county. I'm done. But I didn't know that as I drove off, now you understand that farm's been there since 1840. They've been raising cattle in that same family for a long, long time. And as soon as I got in the truck and pulled off, they all broke up laughing. Even Grandma. They thought it was the funniest thing they'd seen in a long, long time. I went on back, and from that point on, they were my first client. They were my first herd, the first one that I got to do herd work for and set up one of these plans for. So there's a moral to the story. You know there's got to be, right, for me to go through all that? Okay, nothing is as bad as you make it out to be. In your mind, it's always worse than it actually is. That's the first one. The second one, since I have to get up here twice, is always give your Aggie vet a second chance. Okay? So here we go. We're going to start off. Practicing prevention for profit. I think what we tried to do was get away from that fire truck and get more toward the prevention side of medicine. It's something I learned at Virginia Tech, who spoke about students coming out of Tech. Tech's got a great program for preventative medicine, and they try to teach you to stop it before it happens. And the whole idea is to reach goals for y'all. That's what we're going to start with. When we approach a ranch in North Texas, we go out and we try to figure out what the rancher wants. And every ranch or every farm or every operation is going to want something different. I have a heifer operation up in my area that If any heifer has a calving problem, they leave her out there in the field till she dies. That is their management scheme. They do not call the clinic. Their goals are different than another producer I have who follows his calves and has for the last 7 years all the way through from conception to consumption. He takes them all the way through the feedlot, all the way through the rail, everything. He knows what his genetics are doing. Two different producers, two different types of input, two different sets of goals. As a veterinarian, probably the number one reason I have people tell me they don't want to use a vet is one, they've used a food animal, a large animal veterinarian one time and they didn't get anything out of it. Okay, the cow rolled down the hill and hit the tree. The next thing they tell me is it costs too much. You cost too much. In our program in Bowie, we try to make it not only cost effective, but we try to make it so it makes you a profit. If you don't make a profit, if your goal is to make a profit with your beef cattle, and we don't help you get there, then no, you shouldn't really pay us. So that's where we start off in our conversation. At the clinic, our partners have one common goal. It might not be this. Our goal is to raise more pounds of quality beef per acre. Quality beef per acre. Now, the guy who's letting his Angus heifers die, that's not his goal. But we can still work with him. We just have to adjust it. We try to get the most out of your animal, reach the highest potential with the cows that you've got. For the environment, that environment is very big in our part of North Texas. So we don't have water, not a whole lot of it. We don't have a lot of grass. Why are we raising cows? I don't know. Environment, genetics, nutrition, management. We look at each individual ranch, each individual farm as a separate entity. I show up at your place, we sit down, and you are paying me by the hour. And we sit down and we figure out what your goals are, we figure out where you want to be, and we design a program to get you there. We want to be one member of your group. We can't do everything. You know, you're going to call on somebody for your forage, you're going to call on somebody for your fertilizer, you're going to call on somebody else maybe for your genetics. We want to be part of that group to reach your goal. In my county, I sort of took a poll. Where did, you know, Dr. Rogers presented the large number of people they polled that use a veterinarian as a primary source of their veterinary information. Here you go. Some of y'all might fall into this group. Do not be embarrassed and do not raise your hand. Feed store. Feed store is a great place to get veterinary information. Or in my county, it appears to be. County agent, that's great. Your neighbor. Fertilizer salesman, the drug salesman, your grandfather. And last on the list was us. Last on the list was the veterinarian. So, you know, part of my goal today is maybe change your mind. I'm not getting down on your grandpa. Okay, you can visit with him. There's still cows out there with hollowtail. Veterinarians have a tendency they can come out. In our clinic, we sell no drugs. We pharmacy it all out. We don't sell vaccines. We don't sell antibiotics. So we're unbiased. We're in the process right now, and hopefully we'll complete it in the next 2 weeks, of picking out the products that we sort of want to recommend this year and why we want to recommend them. We're not a drug salesman. It's not the products that we have on our shelves. We're not at the feed store. We try to stay updated. We try to attain at least 30 hours, maybe this year I got 40 hours of continuing education. We are trained in, I had a client just 2 weeks ago at an FFA meeting come up to me and said that he had a teacher from West Texas, A&M, that had brought out some students to visit his place. And he told the students that and they are all planning to be veterinarians, don't bother going because I'm not going to use you. My source of information are the hired hands on the ranches that surround me. You know, how much witchcraft are you going to believe in? Now, I can overstep lines that I don't even live in the state. So, you know, I can run back home. But how much witchcraft are you going to believe in? There is science out there that backs a lot of this up. Experience is great. We depend on it. But there is science that backs a lot of our choices up. So I think you get that from your veterinarian as well as education. We start off after we reach a, figure out what your goals are, we start off with discussing biosecurity. That's a catchphrase that's running all through the industry right now. But it does define what we're after. If your animals, if your cattle are not exposed to a pathogen, how can it infect them? We start off as veterinarians sitting down and go through the three P's of biosecurity: prevention, protection, and protocol. And the way we set it up like this is prevention is not just vaccination. That's an important part of it, but it's not all of it. Okay, we also want those cattle to be fed well. We also want them to have the right micro minerals. We want them to be in good body condition. You've got to develop an immune system, and the way you develop that is to have a healthy animal to start with, healthy calves to start with. A lot of times, you might have what you consider a failure on your operation. You used a vaccine and you still got IBR come through your farm. Or you still got calves with respiratory problems. Or you still had a blackleg outbreak. It might not be the vaccine's fault. It might be your calves are unable to mount an immune response. It might be that you used the vaccine incorrectly. It might have been on the dash of your pickup for 2 weeks. Had a client in the northern part of my county lost 69 head in 7 days to blackleg. 7 weight calves. Fixing to go to the feedlot. He just missed that part on the bottom line down there. It says it needs to be used twice. He used it one time. So sometimes it's not the product's fault. It's not the antibiotic's fault. And that's where we come in and work on the prevention part of it. The protection part goes strictly to biosecurity. When we sit down with a client, it has never failed. We find one spot they can improve on. Are you calving next to your neighbors? Did you run your bulls through an isolation program and a vaccination program before you brought them in? Was your trailer dirty when you hauled your heifers to your other farm? Do your neighbors run a stocker operation and you run a cow-calf operation? There's always ways to improve on biosecurity, to improve on protecting your calves from ever getting it in the first place. And if they do get sick, we like to work out a protocol. We like to work out a protocol for prevention and protection, and here in a minute we'll talk about protocols for treatment. Our idea is to have production for a profit. Then we talk, if you have a problem, if a disease starts on your farm, what are you going to do? If you have that blackleg outbreak on your ranch, what's your next step? So that's called biocontainment, or that's how we explain it to clients. The first thing is figure out what you have. The classic example in my practice was an operator who, again, had a large number of calves. Weaned them, bought his vaccine under the advice of a salesman at our supply store. He had a problem develop, lost 250 head, called me out, he had them stacked like cordwood, and was digging a hole at the other end. He had spent $30,000 on antibiotics to this point, and he had a pen full of chronics that were falling over when we drove in. Figure out what you have. Call your veterinarian out. Biocontainment. Where do I put these animals when they get sick? When do I call you? What's the first thing we're going to use? What are we going to do? How are we going to prevent this? That falls into the next one too, controlling the train wreck. You don't want to end up in that where you have 250 dead calves. And I like the questions y'all were asking. When do I use a modified live? Semen checking your bull. You know, it's horrible to get to ready to start delivering calves and nobody's pregnant. And that's happened. Treatment protocol. The way we go about treatment protocols is we sit down and again, we'll go back to what disease problems have you had in the past and how are we going to approach these and when are you going to call us? When are you going to have us come out and work on it? You got your choice. You know, if you take some advice, you're going to use a mixture of antibiotics that kills everything. Okay, that is a shotgun for those of you that can't see it. It's a shotgun approach, or you can come in and take care of what's needed to be taken care of. And that goes back to diagnosing. You've got to have necropsies. Those are veterinary autopsies. You've got to have proper testing. Dr. Rogers and I talked about an individual ranch in my area that is collecting all kinds of samples that don't mean anything. Again, use your veterinarian. Have a plan ahead of time before you have a problem. Hopefully your health plan will prevent the problem. If it doesn't, if you have a new thing come in or it didn't work, know how to handle it. The idea is to prevent it in the future. I don't want to see a show of hands, but every year we get the guy that brings us the same cow with the same cervical prolapse. We've put it back at least 3 times. We've talked about genetics with him, and he keeps bringing it back to us. Or every year we have the same blackleg outbreak. Prevent it. So this is basically what we do. We go in and we talk to him. We develop a health plan, very much like Dr. Rogers has said. In our health plan, we do not want it to be cookie cutter. We want it to be individualized for your individual ranch, for your individual part of my county. If you're in the northern part of my county, you need to worry about anaplasms. If you're in the southern part, you need to worry about lepto. It has to be individualized. Cannot be a cookie cutter. It goes beyond vaccinations. It goes beyond vaccinations. It talks about herd health. That's nutrition, mineral supplementation, deworming, genetics, selection, heifer selection. What are we doing to raise the most pounds of quality beef per acre? How can we tweak it for you? Start, restart. I put that in there again. Remember that cow falling down that hill, and they still hired me. Okay? Sometimes things don't work out right. Who was the person that asked me, how do you change a dog vet to a cow vet? Okay. You give them a chance. You give them a chance. Our young veterinarians drop out of bovine medicine, food animal medicine, at the drop of a hat. It's intimidating. We talk to our students that visit our practice and say, when you make a diagnosis and a treatment protocol for one animal, remember it's population medicine. You're doing it for 100. You're doing it for 1,000. If you suggest a vaccine, you're doing it for 1,000 head, not one. It's intimidating. So you need, as producers, you need to be their friends. They are human. They will make mistakes. You got to call them back. I have a client who raises heifers and gets them pregnant and sells them. Dairy heifers. That's his business. That's what he does. And we palpated a group of heifers and he shipped them. And my mistake cost him $10,000. He had bought several free martins. Very difficult to palpate. Years ago, I couldn't do it. We tried. He is still my client. So give your food animal vet a chance. Consult your veterinarian for assistance in developing a beef herd health program, which is specific for your region. Guys, if you learn anything from this, it means you go home and you tell your vet, I really like to call you at 2 o'clock in the morning when I have a problem, but I want to sit down now and I want to pay you to help me develop a herd health plan. We have cattle groups in our county that range from 3 head to 800 to 1,000 head. So you can make a health plan for anything. I didn't do any public speaking at all until last year when I went around with the Academy of Rural Vets. So to get ready for it, get prepped for it, you know, you read some of these articles, these self-help books, How to Be a Public Speaker. Y'all ever seen them? They give you a list of things to do, you know, wear a tie. Okay? Speak clearly. We'll work on that one. They also give you a list of things not to do. Don't walk around. Don't pace. You know, and two of those things that I can remember from that study was, one, don't brag on yourself or brag on your children. People get tired of hearing that. And two, don't bring up religion. You know, you don't need that. So the way I'm going to conclude today is I'm going to talk about my kids and religion. And it actually relates, okay? I'm not just making this up. It does relate to what we've talked about. I have a daughter who was sort of a small-town hero because she can play basketball, okay? And the restaurants would give her meals free. And when she left town to go to Texas A&M, the police pulled her over to say goodbye. Okay, it's small town. Give me a break, man. So she went down to Texas A&M to their freshman orientation, and I was supposed to bring her stuff on Sunday. Well, she got done on Saturday and moved into her dorm, and I show up Sunday. And I go up the four flights of stairs, and there's a window there, and I look in, and she's sitting on the edge of her bed. The bed's not made. Her suitcases are packed. They're at her feet, and her hands are on her lap. I open the door, and I said, "What's going on?" She said, "Have you looked outside?" I stuck my head back outside, looked around, and there's a zillion people. I'm bringing their stuff in for their daughters. And I said, "Yeah, I looked outside." She said, "There's more people outside, Dad, than are in Bowie. There's more people in my dorm that live in our entire town." She's what we back home, she was vaporized. She had shut down. It looked too intimidating. It looked too big to conquer. Now I get to brag on it, Dr. Rogers. She graduates this May with a degree in animal science and a degree in rangeland ecology. Her goal is to work for the federal government in biosecurity, beef cattle disease. She gives a speech next week in front of hundreds of people. So what lessons have I learned from my daughter that you should take home? Go ahead and do it. Stand up and get after it. It's not that big. So call your vet when you get back home. You're going to hear about another one of my kids. I know y'all love this. My older son went to Stephen F. Austin. He's an agronomy major. He did real well in the fall. You know, he packed up. And he did the mail thing. That's where he leaves, and you're just supposed to wave from the driveway. And he's not going to call home. And he's not coming back till Thanksgiving. Get after it. 3 weeks into it, Mom's going nuts, and we give him a ring. And we do the normal stuff where, you know, how are your classes? How's your roommate? Found any good-looking girls yet? Something was wrong. I couldn't figure out what it was. So finally, at the end of the conversation, I said, "What's going on? What's bugging you?" And he said, "Dad, it's trees." "Trees?" Said, "There's trees everywhere." Stephen F. Austin is in East Texas. This boy's from North Texas. Said, "There's trees everywhere. When you look outside, all you see is trees. You can't see, the sun doesn't come up till 9 o'clock. Said, it's going down by 4, and it rains all the time. They get a shower here at least every other week. I said, "There's just trees everywhere, Dad. I don't know if I'm going to be able to stay here." Well, he did real well. He did okay. Came home from Christmas, went back, and he called me last week on Friday, and he was really, really happy. He got a job, and he's been trying to get a job all semester. So he finally got a job, and he talked about all the students he was going to get to work with, and the man he was going to work for, and where he found the job, and how much money he was going to make, and the days he was going to... And finally I said, "You know, you've never told me what the job is. What are you going to do?" He said, "Dad, I'm working on a tree farm." Point there. You got a small animal vet. You got a horse vet. You got somebody. You've got a student in high school that wants to go to vet school that's interested in cows. Find a way in your community to support these people. Switch them over to cows. Say, "Would you please even think about it?" Heck, I've worked on snakes. They are, and it's going to get worse. It's not going to get better. It's going to get worse. Support the ones you have and try to make them work for you. I'm going to close with the thing on religion, and it's really fast. I'll quit telling stories. Last year at a prep school in New England, King Hussein of Jordan gave the graduation address. I know this because that's where I went to high school. He walked in, granted, the audience was probably anything but friendly. Highly conservative, political leaders, business leaders. He was probably one of three Muslims in the room, counting his two bodyguards. And the first thing he did was stand up on the podium and say, "In the name of Allah, the merciful and the compassionate, good morning." And what did he do? First of all, the whole room shut up. Nobody said a word. But more importantly, when you play this game, often we get sort of a self-importance on top of ourselves. Here's a man who's the king of a country in the middle of conflict, king of Jordan, right next to Iraq. Between Iraq and sort of on the flight plan from Israel to Iran. And he stands up and the first thing he does is recognize the glory of God. So in the name of Jesus, the light of lights and the Prince of Peace, thank you.